This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Good to have Dave Kane back on the show. He's great. And
he's the best.
He's really good. He's fun to talk to and knows his team and all that good stuff. I am excited about wrestling. The duels are back tonight on ACC Network at 6. And the Wolfpack.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood, because I'm going to be ready at 7 p.m. Adios to the week of radio. I'm walking up those steps. One ice cube, two fingers, feet up, wrestling. So I'm looking forward to having Pat on here talking about NC State wrestling. But we got hoops this weekend too, Wes, because it's a big, big weekend of basketball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, take your pick in terms of Duke at Louisville feels maybe the biggest of them. Clemson at Florida State, NC State at North Carolina. I mean, Georgia Tech at Virginia. We just really kind of did the deep dive with Dave Kane on that one. Cavaliers obviously undefeated in the league, so they've got a leg up on everybody. But now there's a question here about getting old, staying old from an experience standpoint, and it also begs some of the reason we're seeing some success here. Georgia Tech in particular, a team that goes to Charlottesville, you think about it, Alvarado, Moses Wright, Michael DeVoe pack, they're the only ACC school among the top 75 in Division I in continuity, and that's a KenPom stat. But Pomeroy does an unbelievable job putting all this stuff together. We've talked about it before from experience and continuity. But look at this right here. I mean, when you start thinking about where the Jackets are, is it not enough for them to have the same roster? I mean, that's one of the big pieces in college basketball when you come to think of it.
Well, we knew that going into the season, right? I mean, in terms of experience coming back, and you've heard so many coaches from around the country go, man, we just got to figure out a way to get old, stay old, play that way. And you look at the best teams in the country, you know what? You'll see a bunch of juniors and seniors. They've been around the block. They played together. Mm-hmm. They've been coached together. It's kind of an old school thought in this day and age where you have the one and dones and, you know, what have you done for me lately routine. So I think it is very important. I think it's one of the reasons that we have seen in college basketball big picture that you see teams once we get to the NCAA tournament in a normal circumstance, you see teams right. That you want to go, who are these guys? All of a sudden you go down the roster and you realize, well, shoot, they've been playing together for 3 and 4 years. They're kind of built like it used to be 100 years ago in college basketball. So,
How about Gonzaga?
Exactly. Yeah, I just said Gonzaga and Baylor. You go down their roster and look at how many juniors and seniors you see on that list, and you'll realize not only are they talented, but they're also 21, 22 years old. It makes a difference, a 22-year-old going up against an 18, 19-year-old kid. So that's part of the gig. Talent, experience, it all works if you have it.
Now, Pomeroy measures this continuity because we're going to show you an expanded piece on this. They measure the continuity based on players who played the minutes a year ago and how it relates to this current season. And if you look in the ACC, you kind of got a differential through the thirds, right? Top five, middle five, bottom five. We talk about those thirds a lot when it relates to the standings. But here's the ACC this season. The top five schools on average in continuity are at 101st nationally. The middle five's at 181. The bottom five's at 195. So when you look at it, it shows a disparity clearly across that board. That's not it's not entirely too deep, but it's also not very high when you think about it. Is it probably average? I bet if we took a lot of the Power Five leagues, we took a lot of the 12 to 15 team leagues, whatever the case may be, we'd probably see very similar. The thing is, though, what does it do once you get to the end of the road? National championships, that kind of thing. The national championship, the winner has had more continuity than the average D1 team 9 times in the last 12 years that Pomeroy has tracked this. Look at some of those numbers, Pac. Now, easy to say 2012 Kentucky, 2015 Duke. You know why? Those were loaded for bear one and dones, right?
Yep.
But the rest of them, pretty clear.
Well, I think, again, if you can get old and you've got good players, that's the way to go. But that is a delicate balance. It's hard to do that. And especially in this day and age where everybody's worried about getting to the next level ASAP. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certain schools like Duke and Kentucky, as you pointed out, two teams that won national championships in the last 10 years. When you see those numbers, it certainly reflects that. So, yeah, I mean, that sounds good, sounds easy, but it's not. And when you've got talented players that are juniors and seniors, you are really one leg up on the field, big time.
All right. We both agree that Duke and Louisville just feels big tomorrow, really critical type ball game, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's not a must. I'm not going that route with you on that, but it's really important for both of them because somebody is walking out of there with three straight losses. And I'm talking about two good clubs, two teams that you expect to be in the NCAA tournament making some noise. And I think it's even more important, I think, for Duke. And the reason I say that is the long pause that they took off in December. They already had a week off with the way the schedule broke in January.
Right.
Lose a tough game Tuesday night on the road. They're back on the road again. You got Jalen Johnson back. They're finally whole as a team. And I asked you the other day, all right, if you're high on Duke, what's their best win? And when you look at their resume, you just shake your head and go, well, it's not there. This, is a much more important game for Duke than it is Louisville. And Louisville needs to hold serve at home, right? There's no doubt. They just got spanked by Florida State at home, lost a game on Sunday night to Miami, which they didn't expect to. And now you got Duke coming to town. So this is one of those games you grab your popcorn, man, because there's a storyline regardless of outcome. And that, to me, always makes it a fun game to watch.
All right, next one on the schedule that you feel is the next biggest of the ones remaining, and I'll even let you have Notre Dame at Miami. I don't think that'll be your choice, but
it won't.
You can take the rest of Saturday's schedule or the Sunday game on the men's side. Clemson, Florida State. See, let me share this with you. I understand what the last two games have been like for the Tigers. They've run into blitzkrieg shooting, right, from both Virginia and Georgia Tech. I don't think Clemson is that far. I think the Tigers are going to be fine. You can't let it get in your head, though, what the last two teams have done. That's why I think Brad Brownell is fortunate to have a veteran team. I think Sims, Newman, the veteran guys on this squad, this is where you got to step up and say, hey, guys, we're still a good basketball team. We're a good basketball team at the defensive end. We just got to make sure we get out and defend, close out, get a hand up, contest the stuff. They may not win tomorrow, but I don't think all is lost for the Tigers on this. Therefore, I'm not as quick to go to that one. Virginia Tech Syracuse feels big to me tomorrow for the Orange, by the way. That one at noon, that one feels big because something tells me if Syracuse wants to be in this thing, they got to win that game tomorrow, Pac.
I would agree with that. I would agree with everything you just said. I think, again, playing devil's advocate, if Clemson loses tomorrow at Florida State, they still have a bunch of quality wins on the resume despite a three-game losing streak. And you can't just fluff it off if that's the case. You got to get to work and get that thing straightened out. So that's that point. Florida State continues to play well. And if you're Leonard, hey, we're back playing again. Let's go, boys. We are searching for the top. Let's go. On your mark, set, go. So that's that deal. I'm with you 100% on Syracuse and Virginia Tech. I think there's a lot of pressure on Syracuse in this game because, number one, you're at home. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're going through this stretch of like 4 out of 5 at home where you're going to start making some noise after losing 2 to Pittsburgh. You got a Virginia Tech team that's really talented. They don't mind where they're playing. They can beat you multiple ways. But Syracuse shot the ball well last time we saw them play where they just lit up Miami after falling behind 11-2. I want to see more of that if you're Syracuse. So, but you know what's funny? When you asked me that question, the game I would have answered is the one we haven't talked about yet, and that's North Carolina and NC State. That, to me, is the one because NC State has lost 3 in a row. But the fact that we haven't seen them play in weeks, you've kind of forgotten that they've lost 3 in a row, right? And I think they've got a good club. They've also got the heels. And anytime you get North Carolina and NC State together, there will be fireworks. And I do think North Carolina has turned the corner. I didn't think they were necessarily sharp against Wake Forest. They did play much better in the second half when they pulled away down the stretch. But I think Roy is starting to find it a little bit as far as dialing it in. Yeah. And let's also keep in mind, NC State's going for that sweep. As I pointed out earlier, they haven't swept the heels since 2002-03 on the hardwood. So you know they're coming to say, hey, guess what, boys? We're ready to go play again. But it's going to be good to see NC State playing. Like I said, kind of like Georgia Tech this week. Go 17 days, you forget about people. Time to see NC State play.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I'm ready to roll because tonight,
let's go.
The duels are back on ACC Network. And
come on,
I
put it on.
Love it. What?
Put it on. Say,
NC State in the house tonight. NC State's on there. So let me get Pat on here real quick. Hold on. Look at the coach on. Coach, let me tell you something. It's time, right? We've been waiting for the duels on ACC Network. We got postponed last week because COVID got us with the North Carolina-Virginia Tech match. But it is go time tonight. And right after the radio show, I'm going to have my little glass of bourbon. I'm going to put this on right here, and it is time to rock, baby.
You'll be ready to rock. Well, you're missing one thing, though.
Yeah, I'm missing. No.
I'm going to be sending.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, no.
This is coming in the mail. So the next time we meet up, this will be one of you has got to be wearing this next time.
Hey, no. Coach, let me tell you something.
You want to talk about viewership.
Hey, let me just tell you something, Coach. I just got this. Let me tell you how quick news travels. I just got a text from my wife, and she said, if Pat sends that to the house, there is no way I want you running around the house and that thing on.
Put that singlet on with a little bourbon. You'll be all set.
You know what? It's going to take more than a little bourbon to get me in that thing. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's certain things in the world that you should not see. That would be me in a singlet. I can assure you that, but I am excited about watching your boys tonight. Now, I know you guys have got to be thrilled to death. It's like it's time to get back to work, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you go through a whole year where we're not really competing, and then you give these guys an opportunity to go out there, showcase their skills. The energy level is real high right now and the focus, and guys are just thankful to be competing week to week right now. So, yes, it's been a very exciting time.
All right, Pat, let's be honest. This has not been easy for anybody, but for you guys, and we've touched base with Makai Lewis at Virginia Tech. We've talked to a couple other guys. I mean, this is a, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of got to hold your breath here a little bit, right? I mean, how's the week going, the preparation leading up to these duels? What's it mean to then have a chance to compete for these guys? I mean, because it's as intense. We found out during football, talking to football folks, it's as intense getting ready as sometimes it is to compete, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot more obstacles you got to jump over. And the focus for everybody's got to be there as a team. You know, you don't know who's going to be called up. You know, you got 35 guys here at NC State on our roster, and all 35 need to be ready to go. You know, wake up every morning as a coach, and you got to see who's on the list with the COVID test and making sure everyone's passing it. And literally, as far as this morning, when we got our results back, we know we can throw our 10 starters out there because of the situation we're in. So you need everyone focused, the weight, everyone making weight at the same time. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot that goes into it with getting guys prepared here for a dual meet on a Friday night. So we're just, again, excited to have our 10 starters ready to go against a really good team tonight.
All right, listen, you're fourth in the country. The league is really good. We've got four teams in the top 15. What do you think will separate this team from all the great teams you've had in recent memory?
I think it's going to come down to the discipline and focus. I mean, we got another challenge outside the room now. You know, your lifestyle has got to be real discipline, you know, as far as what you do outside practice and school. You know, we're asking a lot out of our guys to make sure they're staying away from family and friends. It's difficult to do. Thankfully, you know, these guys can call and get on Zoom calls and FaceTime, but that's the biggest hurdle right now. When we're in our room and we're training, things are great. It's as soon as you leave, you know, there's a whole new element to this. And luckily we got a real disciplined team who wants to do some big things this year, and they know they got to do the right things outside the room, and they've been doing that, and that's why those guys are able to wrestle each week right now.
I know you guys beat Virginia last week 23-9 in Charlottesville. Pittsburgh comes in ranked number 12 in the country. You guys are fourth. I looked down the card here a minute ago. I think there are three ranked-on-ranked matches tonight. Take us through what kind of night you think this could be.
a lot of good high-level wrestling. You know, anytime you get some of the best guys in the country at individual weights, you're going to get some really good wrestling, good intensity. As far as the team goes across the board, you know, every match is going to matter. When you're wrestling two ranked teams, every match, an upset could really change the outcome of a duel. So, you know, at the same time, you don't have a lot of opportunities this year to wrestle high-level guys. So when you get a chance to wrestle a ranked opponent, you got to take advantage of that, whether it's our team or another team. You know, every guy's got to be ready to compete because we're so limited on competition. And we're we're in a good spot as far as the conference because we have really good guys at all weights with all the teams that are doing a great job in the ACC right now. So it's going to make us all better.
Pat, we've talked to a couple wrestlers already from around the conference, and it's been interesting to hear them talk about how they had to stay. You're talking about the discipline, how from their weight perspective, just mentally being sharp. You know, wrestling's a different sport, right? It's not like, hey, let's get some guys together, go out, play some basketball, whatever the case may be. Wrestling's a whole different animal. What did you have to do from a coaching perspective with this particular team in terms of the quote-unquote off-season, while there were so many unknowns, and the fact that mental discipline, more important now than ever before, once you get away from the facility?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the guys didn't know when we were going to start competition. I think, you know, you're seeing a lot of different sports right now. You're 2 weeks out, and then you get a schedule. So that was a little challenging at first. I think the ACC did a really good job of being out in front of that and putting a schedule together for us starting in January. We were able to get some of these matches in with Gardner-Webb, App State. And then it's keeping the guys. Normally in November, December, we've got 20 matches under our belt, and right now I think guys have four or five. So you had to get them a little more match ready in practice. We had to get creative with some of the workouts we're doing. And then obviously you got the weight element to all that. You know, your timing of what you normally have done in years past is different. So it took a lot of brainstorming. We've got a great staff here and some people in the wrestling world you talk to and you adjust, adapt. And I think we have a really good plan moving forward to compete at a high level in the next few weeks. And we're going to need it with the teams we've got to compete against.
Well, you mentioned the next three Fridays you guys are scheduled to be on ACC Network. Next Friday night against Carolina and in 2 weeks against Virginia Tech. All three of them are ranked. I'm not surprising you with those stats, but I think people would be surprised to know just how strong from a national perspective the ACC is right now, Coach.
Absolutely. Coaches in our conference have done a phenomenal job. The guys that are competing in it, obviously we got guys at all weights that can compete for a national title, and I'll rival the ACC with any conference in the country right now. We don't have maybe as many teams as a lot of them, but I think the talent and what we need to win nationals for a team in the conference is coming real soon here.
Pat, for folks that will tune in tonight, and they've heard us talk about the duels last year because it was so much fun to watch it on ACC Network, and maybe they're like, all right, I've heard Pac and Wes talking about these guys. Let me turn this thing on. When they turn it on tonight, give me two or three matchups that you as a coach are intrigued by where you say, hey, listen, these will be matches for folks that maybe not wrestling experts, they don't follow the sport, but you can now hook people and say, guess what? This is exciting stuff every Friday. Give me two or three matches tonight that you're looking forward to.
I think 41, the way those guys have wrestled in the past, there's always fireworks. Those guys pretty familiar with each other. They're putting points on the board, and you know, I think when you got two guys that score a lot of points and wrestle aggressive, you're always going to see some good wrestling there. You know, I like to think 84 right now. They got a guy that moved up a weight class, won the ACCs last year, and we got a guy that's ranked pretty high as well. And both of them, again, I think people want to see aggressive, exciting wrestling when points are, you know, whatever sport it is, you want to see offense. And I think that's what's going to make this dual meet really good is both teams are aggressive. They put points on the board, and people want to see that. And you want to see falls as well. And I would expect there's some weights that maybe you might see some bonus points. And we'll let it play out. But I'm excited to watch the guys that have those ranked matches because, again, we're not going to have a lot of opportunity this year to wrestle high-level guys. I think 33 is one of those weights, too. They got a really good guy. And I like where we're at with Jarrett Tromley, and he's got a challenge ahead of him tonight, and I want to see how he steps up and performs.
Well, you mentioned the ones that are all ranked for sure. At 133, you mentioned Jarrett Tromley and Mickey Phillippe, I guess, for Pitt, who's number four in the country in that weight class. The 84, We know how good that Hayden Hidley has been for you, but Trent must be having a pretty good year too, huh?
Yeah, he's coming off a surgery he had a couple weeks ago. He had his appendix removed, but he had a really good offseason, wrestled some big matches, senior level guys, and won, but has been out for a few weeks and finally got him back last week, his first match in some time getting back on the mat. But I'm looking forward to him. Anytime he's in our lineup, he brings the confidence and the energy and the fight that we need as a team. And when you have tonight we'll have our A team out there, so it'll be good and exciting to finally put all these guys on the mat together and showcase, the body of work these guys have been putting in over the last several years. Go from last year to this year, we didn't graduate anybody, so these guys have been together for quite a while now. So it's exciting to see them compete.
Pat, you started this interview by bringing out the singlet that West Durham looks forward to wearing at some point in time on the show.
No, he doesn't.
There it is right there. That's got Wes's name written all over it.
That's got your name written all over it.
That's going in the mail today.
So I want to end the interview on fashion. All right. We've been watching all these ACC men's basketball coaches go from wearing $5,000 suits to the sweatpants and everything else. And again, we saw a video of last year. Man, you're always dapper on the sideline. So do we stay dapper or do we dress down a little bit during this pandemic? What's the game plan from the coach from the fashion perspective?
You'll just a pair of socks that we'll be throwing on, so we'll tune it up a little bit.
Hey, I got one for you, Pat. Here's the deal. And I like the coat and tie deal, even with the gator. But I have one small request. Before you put the singlet in the mail to us, okay? I want you to stop by your athletic director's office and ask him if that's a good idea that you send that to us. Because he's known both of us a long time, and I think he's going to vote no on our behalf, don't you, Pack? I think he's going to say that'd be a waste of the material.
I think the first thing Boo Corgan would say is, hey, we're on a tight monetary budget, and I don't want to spend 55 cents putting that thing in the mail.
I'll get his permission. I'm sure he'll want to see you guys. He'll sure want to see you guys in that singlet.
We wish you the best, man. Good to see you guys back at work.
Same. All right. Appreciate everything.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. By the way, reconfirmed, Amy Packer, you are not wearing the singlet right there. Not messing around. Coach, we appreciate the good wishes and the good intent.
Look, how long have we known Boo Corgan?
A long time.
Long time. If Pat Popolizio goes by Boo Corgan's office, that singlet will never hit the mail.
No.
You know that.
No. We'll save NC State 55 cents right now. Help them
among
out.
Among other things.
Yeah.
Among other things.
Right. The reputation of many people. No question.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Bristol. Time for this week's edition of Over and Under. And what a special treat we have for you. Mm. Because joining us as the host of Over and Under today is the medalist of the ACC Network Golf Championship and Boondoggle Emporium. Please welcome proud alum of Emerson College, Andrew Brooks.
I understood like four words in that sentence. All right, because so we're not going to waste any time.
By the way, that doesn't speak highly of Emerson College.
I wasn't speaking highly of Emerson College. I had a great experience. I wouldn't be where I'm at without it. But I always tell people it was more like summer camp than school.
Okay, excellent.
I don't think they'll be joining the ACC anytime soon. First question for you guys. Over under 10 consecutive days, Pack wears the singlet without changing.
I'm going to go over.
I think that's the right answer. All right, let's get to the real topic.
Only if I got some body glide. If I get some of that body glide, I might be able to pull that off. Just saying.
I'm going to go puke. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Clemson, Florida State, one of the big games on Saturday. Over under 50% from 3-point line or from beyond the 3-point line for Florida State against Clemson. Obviously, Florida State shooting the ball well over the last three games. 52%. Clemson allowing almost 60% over their last two.
I'm going to go under. under, under.
Under.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, here's the other thing, Here's the other thing, too. You know, you go through stuff like this in sports. I've always found when it becomes painfully obvious when things are supposed to happen, go the other way. Right? Everybody's making every shot in the world against Clemson since they've gotten back. And Florida State's been fantastic. It just seems like, well, that's common sense. Florida State will still shoot 60% or whatever it is. And down the so I'm going to go total opposite. Under.
I'm under all the way. I don't think either team will be close.
We'll find out on Monday. Next game, Duke-Louisville. We spent some time on that this morning. Did you know, in their four losses, Duke is shooting less than 30% from three-point line. So, over-under, Duke shoots over 30% from the three-point line against Louisville on Saturday.
Over.
I'm going to go under.
Ooh.
I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I just don't think they shoot well. I think it's that simple. I think Jalen Johnson's want to get up and down the floor. I mean, Matthew Hurt can bury you from back there. Duke's just been wildly inconsistent there. So, listen, these are two good clubs. A lot of pressure. I think I'm going to go under.
I think this is a high-scoring ball game tomorrow. I think this ball game's in the 80s tomorrow.
Well, if it is.
This game doesn't feature a lot of stops, in other words. Yeah, I don't think this game has a lot of stops.
You know what, Wes? If you're right, and it's an up-and-down floor game, I think they're going to drive right to the basket, right? And that's been the one issue with Duke, that they just don't stop anybody at the rim. And don't you know, with great guard play, which Louisville has, you know that's going to be a possibility. Now, Duke will probably go back to that zone like they did against Pitt, I assume. Coach K is trying to figure some things out here. So, fascinating game. Like I said, whoever walks out of there with an L will be a story on Monday's show.
Right. All right, next, Drew.
All right, over under 70 points for Georgia Tech against UVA on Saturday. We bring that up because Georgia Tech leads the conference in points per game at just over 80. UVA, the number one scoring defense in the conference at under 60 points a game.
And Georgia Tech once had 28 against the Pac line. Yeah, well, at Charlottesville.
That won't matter tomorrow. That doesn't have any bearing tomorrow. It's a different team.
Over and under 70 points. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Under.
I think it's going to be under but close. Under but close.
Hope the Jackets wear those all blues tomorrow.
Yeah, I like those too.
I like those all blues. So, I'm going under. Under 70. I know that place has been a house of horrors for the Jackets now. A house of horrors. They've not won there since Matt Causey played for the Jackets. That's how long that's been.
Look that one up.
Look that one up.
Overtime, no less, too. References for the rest of the show, one.
How about for the rest of the year, one?
All right, while I'm looking that up, we'll move on to the next question. Wes, you're in your Cardinal red today. Over under 20-point scoring margin for the Louisville women in hoops this season. They currently lead the conference, beating opponents by an average of 25.6 points a game. Last season, they led the conference at 16.3.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, Pack.
I'm going to go under. Yeah, I am. Because, listen, you got NC State coming up. I think Notre Dame's playing much better. Georgia Tech's balling. There's still going to be some nights you're going to wear some people out. But, like, even last night against Syracuse, it was, 13? So, I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under on that.
I'm going to go under, but close. I'm going to say, 19 or 18. It won't be much. They're capable of rolling people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you're right. There are going to be a couple tight fits here or there, but they hadn't seen a single possession game yet. They didn't even come close to a single possession game.
I know, but to average 20, I think there's going to be a handful of games that will be 8 to 10. Okay. Who knows? Doesn't mean they're going to win them all. They may lose to NC State. Right. Really screws up to my average. So, I'm going to go under on that, even though they are impressive. There's no question.
I'll go under, but close. I would like to can we flag this one? I'd like to revisit it at the end of the regular season, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Under, but close, right. Flagged. Last question, big night tonight. Over under 1.5 numbers that Pac matches in the lottery.
Oh,
no, how many numbers? How many we buying? How many numbers we buying?
I am going to buy, I haven't bought them yet because I'm acquiring numbers. I will buy, I will buy 5 tickets. All right, I'm going to spend $10.
10, that's all you got in them tonight, huh? 10? You're that beaten down by the lack of effort.
Here's what I'll do. I'm not carrying any money on me. I very seldom do. But whatever I walk into the local 7-Eleven, quick whatever and all that stuff. I mean, whatever the one is up around the corner here. Because I very seldom leave the house.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Whatever.
QT, whatever.
Bob's Fun Mart or whatever they call them. Whatever I reach into my pocket with, if it's a 20, I'll spend all $20. If it's a 10, I'll spend it. So I don't know if it'll be 5 tickets or 10. But for the sake of this question, let's say I spend $20, right? 10 tickets. 60 selections. Yeah. 60 selections.
Sure.
I'm going under.
You're going to go under?
Yeah.
1.5?
Yeah. I'll get one right. I mean, listen, I've already added them up. I told you. I'm hitting at a 9% clip. 9%. So averages would tell you it will be under 1.5.
Can't you all just envision Mark Packer walking into the Zippy Mart there in Charlotte?
There is a Zippy Mart. I've been to
the modern day Jeff Spicoli behind the counter and Packer reaching in the pocket, pulling out a 20, slapping it on the table, telling the guy he wants Powerball and Mega Millions and all that. And then he gets his numbers and he walks back and they announce the numbers and Packer's got like 1.
Done that. That's all I've been doing.
Slapping down money on the table.
Can I say one thing?
I don't carry cash, but when I do, I carry
I got like $6 to my name. That's all. I mean, if somebody ever robs me at gunpoint, I'm going to laugh at them and go, hey, dude, how much you want?
Oh, great.
You want $3 or $6? Because that's about all I got on me. All right. But let me tell you, let me say one thing. And this is from me to all the Zippy Marts and Bob's Fun Huts and all this stuff. We can go buy these tickets.
Fun Hut.
Whatever you call them. Could could you guys have pencils at work? I mean, you got America. You got America walking in, putting $20, $10, $2, whatever, to fill it out. And people think they've got the right combination. Idiots like me think you got the right combination to win $975 million. And you go to the display, and there's like every gambling apparatus known to man that you can fill out. And they've got like this little, like the pencils that they hold. There's no lead in the pencils. Could somebody please load up the pencil dispenser and have a utensil that works? I mean, I walk in every time I do this now for the last couple of weeks. I see people in there and they are just, they're scratching and they're putting holes in it because there's no lead in the pencils. I mean, how in the world? This is why nobody wins. Because there's no lead in pencils. I mean, let us use magic markers or a pen or something. I mean, the whole thing drives me crazy.
Drew, I have a question. Are you the least bit concerned that Packer is bringing up the pencils and the pencils at the Zippy Mart or the Bob's Fun Hut or whatever it is he goes to buy his Mega Millions tickets, and the touch point on pencils the transmission of the pandemic, and we're talking about the pencils for the lottery.
I mean, it's pitiful.
Is anybody else on this crew the least bit concerned about that this morning?
I think that was just a cry for him to get Packer and Durham pencils. We'll work on it.
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out that gift they gave us. Is that a stamp collector? Did I put that on stationery? Is it on ice cubes? I don't even know what that thing is that they sent us the other day. Wes, you got it? Yeah, there it is. Hey, explain to me what. No, not the microphone.
No, I have this.
Yeah, I got those two for the dogs.
I have the dog chew microphone.
Those are great. Yeah, I'm bringing my own pencil.
Is that it for over and under?
I'm going to bring the game, the lottery winning pencil to Bob's Fun Hut to get my lottery tickets, because I guarantee you there's no lead in any pencil in Mecklenburg County. Guarantee you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a interesting week, to say the least. Good games coming up this weekend. Duels tonight. Can't wait. Looking forward to that.
Yep.
And I can't wait for Bo Jangles coming up here in about 15 minutes for Team Packer.
Roll it. Here comes the weekend menu, brought to you by our great friends at Bo Jangles. 6 o'clock tonight, Friday night duels, Pitt and NC State right here on the network. Tomorrow, two scoops of basketball. 6 o'clock, Panthers and Deacons from Winston-Salem. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner be there for that. And then tomorrow night, Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee, Georgia Tech at Virginia, number 13 Cavaliers. Sunday, we got women's basketball for you. Syracuse, Clemson at noon, Louisville, Wake at 2, Virginia Tech, NC State at 4, and then late night men's game, 6 o'clock. Anish Shroff, Paul Biancardi will have Notre Dame at Miami for you. That's the Bojangles weekend menu. You got hit up on Twitter yesterday after we talked about ACC connections to the presidency. Is that right?
We did a shout out to President Joe Biden because he's got ACC ties, being a Syracuse guy. I brought up Richard Nixon, and we started going through the thing with Thomas Jefferson, obviously, University of Virginia. Yeah. And a gentleman sent me a tweet yesterday and said, guys, you guys need to do your homework. And again, we were doing this off the top of our head, so there really wasn't a whole lot of research on our end when we brought this up at the tail end of the show. And he said, you know, James Polk was a University of North Carolina alum. And so, sure enough, I looked it up, and he's right. 1818, James Polk graduated from the University of North Carolina. And I should have known that because there were references. I remember talking to Billy years and years and years ago, and he said, you know what, I think I played against James Polk back in the 1800s. And so sure enough, our research department looked into it, and lo and behold, they're right. There's Billy and James Polk, and there's Polk dunking it on Billy and Wake, I think at the old Greensboro Coliseum back in the early 1818. I might have been 1870. Here's Billy wearing a Clemson uni. I don't know why. Getting dunked on again by James Polk.
Well, he always wanted to be at Carolina when they lost to Clemson. Remember, he always wanted to be there.
Maybe that's what it was. But Polk, who knew, had great hops. And so we went through the reference. Of course, all black and white photos, obviously, when you start talking about 1818. So, yes, there it is. James Polk. And he passed away at the age of 53, because I did a little research on him yesterday, reading about him. And his wife outlived him by over 40 years. 40 years. Who knew? So there it is.
Yeah.
ACC presidential tie-ins and connections. Now you know
the
rest of the
story. Andrew Jackson or Andrew Johnson also had ties to the state of North Carolina, didn't he?
I am not a presidential research guy. I was yesterday for a while looking up James Polk, and there you have it.
How did that go for you?
I enjoyed it. I learned something yesterday. I did not know.
Andrew Johnson was the 17th president of the United States, and he was, in fact, born in North Carolina, born in Raleigh.
Here it is.
Yep. Never attended school, so we can't take an ACC tie to him.
Another league will. I can assure you.
Little bit of news here at the close of the show. It is being reported and expected to be announced this morning before noon that Dwayne Ledford, the offensive coordinator at the University of Louisville, is making the jump. He's going to go to the National Football League and will be the offensive line coach for Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons. I think Tom Pelissero had the story first, at least from what we understand. And now we can tell you that Dwayne Ledford's expected to be announced as the offensive line coach of the Atlanta Falcons for Arthur Smith back.
Well, that's not good news for Scott Satterfield, I can assure you. We wish him the very best moving forward to the NFL, and that will be a Wes Durham issue moving forward as the voice of the Falcons. But from a Louisville football perspective, That was an important piece. So, again, got to get to work. You see, the transfer portal is nuts right now for the players, and you're seeing coaches bounce around all over the place too. So it's just the nature of the beast.
All right. Again, thanks to Kelly Gramlich, Dave Kane, Pat Papalizio for being on today's show. Great stuff. Drew, Josh, Meg, fabulous work. All right, before you head off to the Mighty Mart to visit with Brad Hamilton and get your lottery numbers, why don't we get the lottery numbers before you go through your pencil drama and all the other stuff that you're troubled with and your $6 in your pocket? Do we have the numbers? Are we ready to go with the numbers?
No, we're not. I'm still taking requests. People were sending those in on Twitter and everything else yesterday. I did get some yesterday. 6-2, 25, 44, 21. Throw a 52 in there for Dallin Cuff's dad. 42 as well. So those numbers popped up yesterday just on this particular show. I will buy $20
worth of tickets. Papalizio went 41.85 for you.
Yeah.
Papalizio went 41.85 for you.
And 34. He gave me a little 34 in there too. And he kind of went NASCAR on us, didn't he? He didn't give you number. He didn't give you names. He went numbers. He went NASCAR version.
34 car.
Yeah.
41 match. The 85 match. By the way, 65 match.
One more thing I'd like to say, and I'm not happy about it, but being a James Bond fan, the James Bond movie was supposed to come out April the 10th, 2020, it got pushed back to the fall. Because of COVID, it's now been pushed back again till October the 8th.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.